Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask your blessing upon our wisdom and understanding, and give us eyes to see and understanding of the paths that are coming and which way we should go. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Amen. All right, I'm going to continue with Faction Cannot Prevail, number 12. At the time of the man-child Jesus' birth, angels came and spoke to the shepherds. The same word as pastors, by the way, which is a type for today. It's happening. The angels told us that in the future we would be speaking to one another when in dangerous territory by the Spirit. Emails and texts and other physical forms of communication are hacked by governments and Satanists and are very dangerous. And this is true if you are a Christian missionary among an unfavorable religious society, right? For example, one of our leading missionaries' emails to me were intercepted by the Catholic Satanists who have shown me so in emails to me. And they are attacking the Christians and killing some, just like the Satanists here under Kevin, who has shared information with them to help them to kill our missionaries. He just hacked my email to get in touch with the leader of the Catholic assassins, who already received information from him to help them kill our missionaries. The Lord impressed me to practice this spirit communication, but not that everyone should, because there's no need, and it could be dangerous if you don't know who you are speaking to, right? Our angels are teaching over me and watching over me and giving information on the enemy. And I went to the Lord and asked if we could begin to talk this way. And so Baruch and the angels helped me, and we did. So this morphed into total communication between us. And we go to the Father for everything to be sure that we send the angels correctly. It's a learning process, and I'm in it, and I've asked for it. And I know it's going to be very needed in the future. So this communication involved either spoken words or thoughts, and all I had to do was to address him by name, and this would open a line of communication between us that was totally natural, like you were sitting in the same room. Well, this morphed into not even calling on the angel, just speaking or thinking communication with the angels. Eve could speak to them this way before being taken down by the Satanists. And now she doesn't believe in dreams or these angels or anything else biblical. So that proves it's right. She works for Kevin, whom she is completely submissive to because of the demons that he put on her, including witchcraft, voodoo, slander, lust, fornication, and adultery. So she would do her job for them. And I'm sure some people might say, David, why would you not cast these demons off of her? Well, we have done this many times, Michael and I, with some of these demons in the past, but recently God would give us no grace to do this because she entered into willful disobedience. And also, now the Lord has told us that he is bringing her through this whole experience. And he told us he's going to bring her all the way to the bottom. That's what he told us. And this is to humble her and to be an advocate for those taken advantage of by these filthy Satanists. And also, in parallel, the Catholic Satanists were caught by the government raping the children in the Middle East orphanage that they took over. And some of the children have been trafficked. And these men were judged with a liver disease, and some were arrested. So these are the ones Kevin gave information to help them kill our missionaries. And also we have seen Kevin alive. You say, well, how could that be? Well, as I was told by the Lord and confirmed by the angels, that the prophetic words and visions given to us were not meant to be immediate, but were like prophecies and visions in the Bible that need to get out before coming to pass. The Lord assured me that it was all still coming and would be revealed, including the deaths of the wicked Satanists, minus, of course, the elect among them, because there's elect everywhere in every stoop out there, you know, that are going to come out and give the message and repent and confess their sins and everything. So, and we're going to see all this. And also, the one to bring this to pass is not me, but the anointed man-child. I was merely acting it out as prophets have done in the past in the Bible. But here is where it is actually fulfilled. Listen, Isaiah 62:11-12. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. So this is the Lord coming in the man-child ministry to render the judgments prophesied. And notice that the reward comes after the judgment. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Talking about Zion. And then continuing on into 63:1-4, who is this that cometh from Edom, that's those who killed their elect brethren, with dyed garments from Bozrah, that's the Edomite sheepfold, this that is glorious in his peril, marching in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, therefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled. I believe that this sprinkling of the blood represents hemorrhagic fevers, right? Upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Send your redemption, O Lord. Thank you, Father. So we've shared with you that a Marburg and possibly Ebola attack is said and dreamed to be coming, which are hemorrhagic fevers, where the victim bleeds out of every orifice in their body. Hence the blood sprinkled on the garments, and pestilence and blood, quote, as the word speaks of. And the Lord also told us that he would use this to remove many wicked people from the earth, and some who just don't need to be here for the tribulation. And I believe that the deep state will attempt to use this plague to stop the wealth transfer of their stolen wealth. And I believe the Lord told me that this will take down the Satanists who have attacked us here and overseas. And we shall see. And here's a word that we got concerning an attack. And we called it Wizard and Witch Attack on UBM. And this is Marie Kelton. This warning of an attack by the Satanists has already come to pass. It just did, right? During the meeting, I had an open vision of a frog and a snake coming around the corner to a neighborhood during the night. The neighborhood had street lights on. The frog and the snake turned into a wizard and a witch with a black hooded cloak on. So both of them had this black hooded cloak on. Satanists have to do their work in darkness, for they know that they're not acceptable with any decent people. Their slander and doctored emails and audios and have to be hidden behind passwords so no one can object to their lies and slander. And this while we speak openly. Of course, they invite individuals in there after they figure that they're enough taken over by the demons to peer into these lies that they do. The one that was a snake took off its hood, and I saw short, red, curly hair. Well, we know this person. This red, curly hair represents Eve, who is a mouthpiece for Kevin, who controls her. He has her feigning a conscience, but she doesn't have that. She hasn't had that since those demons were dumped upon her. The poison of snakes is in their heads, representing deception. And the short hair represents rebellion against the Lord. The one that was a frog pulled out a brown wand that was in his right hand. The wizard raised his wand and then flicked his wrist, and all of the street lights went out. Well, Kevin has already been identified as a frog in dreams, which represents lust, which Kevin has always been known for. And they can't attack UBM in the light, for we would bring forth the witnesses whom Kevin has been trying to kill off. For instance, he sent a witch to curse, to leave a curse in Sandy's house. That witch came acting as though she was repenting, but was not, was there to leave a curse. And she left it in Sandy's house. It killed her mother, and it missed her. And I asked the Lord, why did you let that happen? He said, because her mother wanted to go home, and I wanted them to be guilty. God is holding them guilty for Sandy's murder and her mother's murder. And they wanted to kill her because of her prophetic revelations of, well, Kevin's evil life especially. That's why he wanted to kill her. He sent witchcraft to kill Amber, for she was a witness of him calling her to try to seduce her in the middle of the night twice. And she was a witness of Philip following after him to do the same thing to her. His little girl, he turned into a boy and sent her to Amber's house to try to deceive Alexa, which wasn't possible. Alexa's a wise little girl. Anyway, bisexuality is rampant among the Satanists. Satan demands perversion. If you work for him, you got to be a pervert one way or the other. Okay, this is a revelation. It's very clear. And we called it Seducer Preying on Young Women, Anna Stewart, 9/1/23. I had the following dream. I may be representing myself or other young women that we know about who were stalked in the same way. True. I dreamt that I was a teenager in high school. The high school campus was at my childhood home. It seemed that I was 16 years old. Well, Anna is a very innocent person, and I think that's probably what this represents. She, the predators of the children of God, which you're going to be listening about here, should know that 16 is still an adolescent teen and not an adult. Kevin tried to talk a teen girl here into running away with him, but she had a lot more sense than he did. There was a scene where I was on the roof of our old pump house, where the well of living water springs from, spiritually speaking. chipping away and scraping off years of accumulated gunk from the rooftop. Well, I think the rooftop represents the covering given by the blood of Jesus, and this is also our protection. As I removed the blackened gunk, which I believe is the old self-life, I was surprised to find that there was honey underneath. Amen. The Lord's honey words add sweetness to the tongue, which is called a tree of life. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Amen. Cleaning off the pump house roof represents, she said, the Lord's cleansing process to bring restoration to the personal fountains of living waters, to Eve and to the women, because she felt like she was also standing in for them, right? Through our prayers, we are pumping the words of life into their future. Yes, we are. And Proverbs 24:13 says, my son, eat thou honey, for it is good, and the droppings of the honeycomb, which are sweet to thy taste. Amen. The scene changed back to the campus, and Kevin was there, and he was 35 in the dream. He seemed like a nice man. Seemed in the quotation marks. It seemed like he and I had known each other in the past. And that's, of course, because we used to be in fellowship as brethren. So at the campus of UBM, both she and her husband had dreams the same night that Kevin molested her. Kevin sent me an email from their phone and name, but I felt suspicious. In other words, he sent it as though it came from them. He used their name, their address, and everything. It was just like it came from them. But I got suspicious. And since it didn't seem like them, so I asked them if they had emailed me, and they said no. He does that. He's done it. Did it yesterday, emailing Kathleen as though it came from me. And of course, she asked me something about it. Then I realized, I said, that didn't come from me. Yeah, this is that snake, you know. We caught him doctoring old emails to divide people, but he only sends them to the victim and hides them from others. For everybody would know the error, you know, so he can't put it out there so it can be, you know, looked at and spoken about. Well, he was very nice to me, she said, and it seemed like he was in love with me. Well, that's just true, I got to tell you. He was following me around, but not pushing the issue of wanting to talk to me. It wouldn't have been acceptable among us, obviously. I wasn't attracted to him, just attracted to the idea of him loving me. Well, the spirits of lust Kevin sent out use the emotions and make one feel like they want him, but are really just deceptive. He has a spirit of seduction and acting. He's only lustful. That's the whole problem. But I had this subconscious feeling that something wasn't right. It was like I knew that a 35-year-old man pursuing a 16-year-old should be a huge red flag. Yeah. So being only 16 years of age is considered, of course, below the age of consent for sexual contact, and knowing that the difference between right and wrong, having our senses exercised by the word, Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. I couldn't quite get my mind around the fact that he was just lusting after me. It was like I was blinded because of my desire to be loved. Well, the spirits of lust blind the young by using the emotions and desires for love and confuse their minds. I wanted to walk away from him, but he seemed so nice and like he really cared about me. Well, he does seem that way, but it's not true. I subconsciously knew that he wasn't as he seemed, but it was like my knowledge of who he was had been taken away. Well, that's exactly what happened to Eve. She knew this guy as the snake that he is, but now he's just adored. I'll explain that in a minute. I knew he really wasn't a good man, but I couldn't remember why. Well, the factious send witchcraft spirits with confusion and doubt and unbelief. I was really struggling between wanting to be loved by him and wanting to walk away and not look back. There was this strange pull trying to draw me to him. With my reasoning, I wanted nothing to do with him, but my emotions were being manipulated towards him. Well, we bind all their witchcraft, control, and manipulation to seduce and capture other women. Kevin has lusted after Anna for years. We've all known this. A spirit called Asmodeus is the principality of the spirit spouse and is also over incubus and succubus demons that molest people. Asmodeus uses spells or enchantments to make women supernaturally attracted to him. Like this dream, even though before this, they wouldn't go near this person. Kevin is a serial seducer and uses this demon. He still stalks Anna on our broadcast and other young women. It's been revealed to us. He stalked Eve for years on her phone and computer and finally captured her. Now she believes everything he says. He has fallen into faction 4 times since 2011, and she saw this corruption every time. But now she just told us that he was right and just trying to turn us from our ways, and we were all wrong. So how quick they forget under that witchcraft. You see, it's a total turnabout. Everything is backwards to them. Kevin's truck was a pretty blue, and she said, this is a false, righteous, heavenly color. Yes, he imagines himself or tries to display himself as a good person, but he's not. So, meaning he has an acting spirit that acts righteous, which he imparted to Eve. Yes, when we were casting demons out of Eve before she left, one of them was an acting spirit because she had had relations with him. The scene changed and I was standing next to Kevin's truck and David and Michael were there. David was smiling and kind but urging me to flee from Kevin. Well, we just have to resist the devil and all his tactics of deceptive charm and lustful seduction. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Yes, we've learned a lot about his devices in the last few years. He was so calm, but told me I should flee like it was for my life. This is true. I can't get this across to people. You have to flee like it is for your life. There are people that have been dumbed down by this since 2011 and taken by their seduction and manipulated and made whores and enjoying it because of the demons that they dump on them. And she said, and go where Kevin couldn't find me. So we are to be hidden by abiding in Christ, right? And I knew it would be hard to flee because he was always hanging around close by. Yeah, that's what stalkers do. We need to remain fully armored with the Word of God, Ephesians 6:10-20, and continue to bind the demons operating through their witchcraft and curses and loose the angels to protect people. Then I saw a GPS map with my vehicle driving this way and that, trying to flee in unpredictable ways. I saw a line behind mine that was Kevin's vehicle following my trail. He was far behind me, yet he always caught up close to where I was. Well, you can do that with that equipment, right? I suddenly realized that he was actually stalking me and just how creepy he was. There was no way for him to know where I was, yet he was always able to follow me, shortcutting close to where I was every time. In other words, cutting off, you know, shortcutting. Well, I remember when Philip had an app on his phone, that's his disciple, so he always knew where his wife was, even when she ran away from him one time. He showed it to us. He learned everything from Kevin. So we bind all of Kevin's spying and stalking spirits and declare that they are all null and void. And we cast down the powers and the principality operating through him in Jesus' name. The dreams and visions have shown him stalking other women. That's the end of the dream. But she said, I also had a dream a couple of years ago where Kevin was in a blue truck spying on us. And there was a fire in the house where we met. But Kevin ended up fleeing for his life after being shot at by David, who was target shooting into the field where Kevin happened to be hiding and spying from. And she said, I thought this might be some direction for warfare for Eve and other women. Yes, it is so much. Thank you so much. Okay, this is a word about Kevin and Eddie. A very pertinent word. David Timoshuk, 6:2-23. He said, I was led to pray for all the persecutors and family, and I kept repeating, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Then this morning, while preparing the jalapenos, these words kept repeating in my head. Kevin and Eddie have fallen by their own swords. And shortly after, I heard the words, it is finished. What does that mean? Well, our Lord said, I will curse them who curse you. In other words, and he also said about turning their traps back on themselves and trapping them many times in Proverbs and Psalms. So their curses are coming out of their own mouths. They don't know they're going to come and pile up on them because that's what God does. Psalm 37:12-15 says, the wicked plotteth against the just constantly. They have nothing to do. They don't have a ministry to keep up and to feed people and anything like that. They don't do nothing like that. The only thing they do is destroy people, period. That's it. They have plenty of time to plot, you know, and gnash upon him with his teeth. The Lord will laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Yes, it is. That's what the Lord showed us, that the prophetic revelations that we got were coming, and there wouldn't be anything to do about it. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Notice, their own sword enters into their own heart, right? The judgments they speak will come on them. And this is a dream of judgment that's coming, Elena Timoshuk, 8:30-23. I dreamt that I was in the Walmart parking lot with my mom and daughters. We had set up camping chairs in the back and were there to watch a meteor shower to see a sign in the sky. Well, this is a sign others have mentioned of the coming judgments. And also the stars falling to the earth represents a falling away of the star glory saints, or at least a portion of them, according to the scriptures. And while we were waiting, I saw chaos happening all around me. I knew that everyone was boycotting the grocery stores, and anyone who was weak and would enter to get groceries for their family, the people boycotting would attack them. Well, let me say the grocery stores represent the churches who supply spiritual food, some of them anyway, and the attackers are the factious Satanist terrorists. Some were even lighting their cars on fire to scare off anyone else from trying to shop. Well, they'll do anything to stop anybody from coming here and receiving the food that they need. They've done it from the beginning. Satan in them hates what we do and hates what we say. It's scriptural. They don't put anything scriptural on their site. They're into psychiatry now. He's a great psychiatry enthusiast, and when he passes on that garbage to people, they go berserk. And Eve, too, she passed it on. She got it, and then she went berserk, and she passed it on to others, and they went berserk. So they do their best to deprive anyone of the gospel salvation that they really need. And I thought, she said, that I needed to wake up and tell my husband my dream, but then slipped into another one. I was with my husband in my parents' house, and my girls were asleep in another room. I started sharing my dream with him and noticed a massive storm approaching. In other words, judgment coming. I knew we needed to be in a safe room during the storm, so I went to get my daughters, and I saw that my oldest had woken up and gone outside and was playing with a cousin. I ran out and got her and told the other little girl to run home because a huge storm is coming, and the wind had already picked up to really strong winds. Well, people need to be warned. A huge judgment is on the way. We've been warned. We've had many of these. My little cousin excitedly asked me if we were going to heaven, and I told her, not just yet. Then again, I started thinking that I needed to tell my husband my dream, but that I needed to get a verse by faith at random first, and two places from the Bible popped into my mind, Matthew 11:22 and Mark 11:13. I had no idea what these verses were, but I knew the Lord put them in my mind. And then I woke up so I could write them down before I forgot them. Matthew 11:22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And because they knew better, right? And there are people out there who have been educated in the ways of the Lord and knew better, and they turned away from God. Mark 11:13. And seeing a tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. Well, where he was passing over towards Jerusalem, he was on the Mount of Abominations, it was called, when he found no fruit. Any fruit growing out of that would be bad anyway. What fruit can a factious Satanist have? By their works, they have denied the Lord and his fruit of the word. You can't change their mind with any words. And they break all of the words. They break all of God's laws and all of man's laws. So I felt this dream was telling me the Lord's judgment is coming very quickly. I agree so. And here's one that kind of pushes that too. A tsunami judgment coming. And this is Tiana Fire 2:8-23. I dreamt that we were with the local brethren and we all lived next to each other in a community. A warning came from God in an audible voice. And he said, a tsunami is coming. Well, tsunamis are destructive surges of water that can hit land, of course. And this could represent a spiritual tsunami bringing judgment on the wicked, as we have received before. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, even so are we in this world. An awesome promise there. The brethren were all cheering that God had given warning this time. The brethren spoke about the last time there was a giant tsunami and storm, but God didn't tell them it was coming, and that it had wiped out everyone except the UBM brethren. Well, God gives us warnings of judgments so we can be ready ourselves and warn others so that they can repent from sin and turn to the Lord. And many judgments will wipe out the wicked. Last time, everyone was in the water and having to tread over all the waves, and all the brethren were gathered near each other in the water. Well, the body of Christ needs to stay together, the true body of Christ, the rest don't belong there, abiding above the water, because the water represents the curses spoken in the Word of God, which is the water, and not let factions separate them. That's what the devil wants to do, divide and conquer. That's why these people are out there trying so hard to do that. It was so dark and there were storms and vicious waves for 3 days they had to do this. Well, I believe the storms and treading of the waves of water represents the trials and tribulations that we go through being tried by the Word in our death of the old man. The 3 days represent the time Jesus was dead in the tomb. Because of their faith and strength in Christ, they were preserved, but all the other people were taken out by the tsunami. Well, it's true. Some people can't have any faith in what they haven't studied or put in their hearts, you know. We need to obey the Lord and walk the crucified life of death to self. And when we do, we save our souls. Matthew 10:22 says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. In John 12:25, he that loveth his life loseth it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. She said, I asked some of the sisters how they were able to tread on the water with their three children, each. And a few of the children were able to tread themselves, or the children were strapped to their parents with a carrier. Well, parents are to teach their children the Word and how to walk by faith so that they know how to go through trials too. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, and you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So staying above the ways represents overcoming the curse of death by faith. Okay. I honestly had much fear, or maybe having to tread in dark open water, and I was worried about sharks. But the brethren said, because God has warned us this time, we won't have to do that. Well, he warns you so you will escape, right? Of course. And when we go through our trials in faith and obedience and overcome them, we don't have to go through them again and again. We all grabbed what we needed and walked to the highest point on the biggest hill in the town. Now, I believe that represents our walk to get to Mount Zion and be in Jerusalem, which is the bride and also a safe place, right? And when we got to the top, there was a giant tree that we all climbed and got on top. This giant tree, I believe, represents the tree of life, who is Jesus. Proverbs 3 and 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. That's wisdom being spoken of. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And in Revelation 22:14-15, blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city. Without are the dogs, the sorcerers, which is the same for witchcraft, right? And the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters. Well, so if you're a factious Satanist, if you don't repent, you are not going to be in this place. And everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. Psalm 92 and 12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Well, we could see the view over the whole town and the water, and there was a giant storm forming and waves rushing. This giant storm forming likely is the deep state planned attacks. And I believe that because it's been given to us many times. And as well as the tribulation period, which is soon to start. But she said, we then saw other people from the town running to the hill to try to get up higher. Then giant waves started rushing through the town, and everyone not on the hill was washed away. Some people wait too late, don't they? So the hill represents the high places in God that are above the curses, and many people are unaware of the coming storm. And we need to be abiding in Christ now, dwelling in heavenly places, which is by faith in his promises. Ephesians 2:5-6 says, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So these heavenly places, on the top of the mountain, on the top of the tree, and all that, that's abiding in Christ Jesus. Some other people were on the hill and started running to the top, but then another giant wave crashed on the hill and everyone not on the tree was taken out. The storm lasted about 5 days, but we were all content, praising God from the tree, and again, UBM brethren were the only ones left alive from the town. Well, the tree of life is the tongue of the righteous that confesses the promises, as the word clearly says. And UBM represents all those out there that believe the unleavened bread of the word. Many people pick and choose, and they don't have any sense of the supernatural ability and power of the word to save and to deliver. Okay, this is our Father's heart. And this is Debbie Finsky, Prophesying 8:6-23. I finished writing down what I was hearing from the Lord. I got hesitant about it. I was thinking about using coins for confirmation, so I asked the Lord, Father, shall I blog this? And Father said, be led by my spirit. I simply said, I know, Lord. Then he said to me, what did you hear? What did you feel? I told Father, I heard you speaking, and I felt your heart. And I received nothing back from the Lord then, and knew that I was being led by his spirit, and that I had been hearing his heart. I was laying on my couch listening to this constant rolling thunder. It was beautiful. So then I heard, quote, do you hear the thunder? I said, yes, Lord, it's beautiful. He said, so is my voice that is continually speaking. I will not stop until all who I have called to myself have heard my call. But woe unto those who have heard, but will not respond to me. For them is coming tremendous woe. And there is much woe coming to my sheep, who have become lost, and do not want to find their way back, ignoring any of my guidance. They have been lost too long, and no longer have a conscience. This is the people that have faction and witchcraft on them. They don't have a conscience. They may fake a conscience, but they don't have it. They'll fake a conscience in order to deceive you or to send you some slander, but they don't have a conscience. The day is nigh that will be woe unto them, the woe to those who I have been calling to myself, and out of my great mercy for them, I have sent my ambassadors, my witnesses to them. And some of them only like the message they hear, and some only like the thought of a life walking with me. But woe unto them, for I almost had them, but they too wait too long, and they let themselves grow cold to the slightest drawing that they feel from me, to my slightest call of their name. And though they hear, they reject. Their life is this world, is much too important. They are idols unto themselves and will not be freed, so I let them go. Woe to them, for there is glory coming. Great revival is coming that will bring back my lost, but tender ones who have hearts still tender towards me. I felt to ask Father, Lord, what is it that you want to tell us to do? I tell you and all, stop wasting time praying for those who by their lives and their reactions to my son and the teachings they once knew and embraced but now have rejected. For I say I have already rejected them. He told me that about Kevin and Eddie. In fact, I put my finger down on a word that said just exactly that. I have rejected them. So then I was thinking to myself, well, how do we know who those would be? Father heard my thoughts and said, listen to my voice. You will know. Pray instead for the multitudes ready to embrace me and my kingdom through the mighty word preached from my sons, who I will fully dwell in, and the mighty signs and wonders that they will perform. Right now I see the glory. I know those who are mine, and I know those who never have been mine, and those who are mine no longer. Very soon all who I have chosen will be mine, bearing my name. I will move in mighty ways for the final bringing in of my precious true Israel. This mighty move is close, and you believe it is close. But I tell you that it is yet closer than you think. Be busy preparing yourself in me, my sons and daughters. I see that there is still much of this world in you that you need to let go of. Have you been understanding what I have been saying, what you have already been hearing? Do you understand the shortness of time? Are you being moved by the woes of the people of this world? I say, examine yourselves and be moved by the state of your own heart. I say, this is the time to let go. This is a call to you, my people. This is the time to be prepared. Put off any love you have for this world. Put off this slothfulness that I see. Be prepared. Be ready. So we receive this one called Our Heavenly Protection. Marie Kelton, 8:11 and 22. I had an open vision of the Lord sitting next to me. He said, eat from the hand of God. He then opened his hand and I saw food in it. All right. I would say that to those out there that are slacking on any of that, you know. Talk to the Lord. He will take care of it. John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. In Proverbs 9:4-5, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that is void of understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Amen. And we know that that is wisdom speaking. Jesus is the wisdom of God, as we know. Thank you, Lord. I then saw two big angels standing by the side door with spears in their hands in the living room. And I was asking the Lord about the demons that attack my mind all the time. One of the angels walked up to me, and I could hear the clacking of his armor. I knew he was there to help me, and I asked him to help with spirits attacking me. Well, Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? Yes, that's true. That's what they do. You have to call upon them. You can send them, etc., etc. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. John 14:14. If you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. I then saw a huge demon to my right. The angel took his spear and stabbed the demon with it. And when the angel pulled out the spear, I saw black liquid on it. They don't have blood, do they? Black liquid. I then saw two angels walking with a demon in between them, and they were holding it up. The angels then stopped, and the demon was kneeling. Philippians 2:9-11 says, 9-11, wherefore also God highly exalted him and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the sun, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Ephesians 6:12, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Colossians 2:15, having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. Then I saw the Lord walk up and take a sword and cut the demon's head off. Mm-hmm. So her prayers were answered. Amen. And as they all will, that when we believe we have received, right? Okay, we call this escaping evil. It's anonymous, 12:12-22. And this, I dreamt that I was a child and living in an orphanage in the middle of nowhere. There were many other children and workers there. Well, as we'll see, this represents the children of God in captivity to the factious Satanists. A group of the children had run away from the orphanage to the forest because some of the workers there had been sexually abusing the children. So that's representing the Satanists and their sexual exploitation of God's children. In other words, we're seeing it to be God's children here. And Genesis 6:11, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. I wanted to leave too because I didn't want anything to do with that. So I and two other children planned to leave. And she says, Lot and his two daughters escaped Sodom. Genesis 19 and 17, and it came to pass that when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all of the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. It's a word that is very pertinent today. Do something. Run to God, right? It was lunchtime, and all the children were playing in the playground. My friends came up to me and told me that they were going to run away right now. I said that I haven't packed my bag yet. They said they would go out of the school and wait in the forest for me. And they ran off, and I went into my room to pack my bag. And to get to my room, I had to walk past one of the men that had been abusing the children. I was praying in my heart that he wouldn't notice me, as if I was invisible and he wouldn't see me. Well, Colossians 3 and 3 says, for you died and your life is hid with the Christ in God. And in Psalm 91, we can claim our secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of his wings, right? So I went into my room. And anybody thinking they're going to leave the factious cults, you need to claim this invisibility. Yeah, because when they see your heart, they're going to attack you, as we've had dreams about. I went into my room and I packed everything I could in my bag, including water. I was making a lot of noise trying to find everything quickly. I also was afraid because I was alone in the room, and not only was I scared of getting caught trying to escape, but I feared him trying to do something evil to me. Yes, and he does do that kind of evil. I had the bag almost fully packed when the man walked into the room and he grabbed something from a desk. He walked straight past me and couldn't even see me, even though I was in plain sight. So claim your invisibility. They like to attack people. They want to bring them into bondage. God answered the prayer to be made invisible, as we can see, and not to be seen by the wicked. So do it. Do it now. They see people they want, and they just send this garbage on them to take them out, just like Satanists do around the world. Luke 4 and 30, but he passing through the midst of them went on his way. Now, how is that going to happen? He was standing on the edge of a cliff, and all these people were piled up behind him. All these factious people were piled up behind him. I escaped and ran off to join my friends in the woods. We spent the next few days trying to survive there, avoiding animals, trying to keep warm at night, and not to give in to fear of the scary animal sounds we heard. Well, the predator beasts can be bound, like Daniel in the lion's den, and Paul shaking off the serpent into the fire, right? You can do this. And also, we had a lot of trouble trying to find food and not going the wrong way. Well, Revelation 12 and 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath there a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. We honestly had no idea where we were and where we were going. All we had ever known was this orphanage, so we had no idea what to expect because we never had contact with the outside world. Well, Hebrews 11 and 8, by faith Abraham, when called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and went out not knowing whither he was going. Yes. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk through faith and not through sight. Psalm 37:23, a man's goings are established of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So, if you are a righteous person, don't worry, you will go there. You'll put it in your mind, or he'll put it in your actions. It doesn't matter. He'll get you there. After about 3 days of being in the forest, we found a house hidden in the woods. No one was home, so we snuck in through a window and went through the house. Took some food, and we went and hid upstairs in a bedroom that didn't look like it was regularly used. We heard someone walking around the house, and we knew someone lived there. We tried our best to stay hidden. We wanted to stay here because it was better than being in the woods, especially at night. And we could secretly go find food in the house when we felt a person wasn't there or when we thought they were asleep. We stayed in this room for a little while, but we ended up going into the attic. We hadn't been in the attic long before this elderly man came up and found us. He was very kind and caring and loving, which is something we hadn't experienced before. No, not among the factious, you won't find that. Their caring and loving is an act to get something from you. They're seducers. The elderly man represents the man-child company, and they teach the children in the wilderness who have escaped from Egypt or come out of Sodom, right? And when we were in the orphanage, all the children were always in fear of the workers and only had other children to console in. The man let us stay in this place for a while, feeding us and talking with us, and he built up a trust with us, and we confessed where we were from and why we ran away. Well, we all have to start out as children and learn to trust the Lord. By His grace, we can have a healthy relationship with Him where we can be nurtured and grow to our authority over the evil spirits in people. He told us that there had been many children before us that had run away for the same reasons. That He had His house here for a long time, and that He had helped many other children in our situation. He told us there was a man who ran away as a child, and that He had taken him in and raised him. And now this man lives in another town, and he always tries to help children in any way he can, because he understands and had experienced the same evil abuse as a child. That's what I told you Eve was in there for, remember? Okay, the man-child will raise up disciples in the Lord's image to raise up the church in the wilderness. Yeah. The elderly man called him, and he said that he and his wife will take us in and raise us as his own. And they came and picked us up, and we went to live in their house, and they were very friendly, gentle, and understanding. And then I woke up. Well, true disciples all over the world will be taking in the younger refugees of the wicked to nurture them in the Lord. And let me say this, everybody, please pay attention. Please, everyone, send up prayers for the missionaries who are hiding and hungry and in need. Pray for their health and deliverance. Send in your offerings for them. We don't keep these. We don't keep any of this. It goes right straight to them. And pray for the other victims of these factious Satanists, both here and abroad. Thank you so much for your listening hearts. And thank you for entering into prayer and supplication. In Jesus' name, God bless you and keep you.